Praise God. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We're really excited to have Apostle Ryan Lestrange with us. It wasn't just an invitation because we just wanted to, you know, fill up some Sundays in the month of August, but we really felt from the Holy Spirit of God for some time that we should reach out to his ministry and invite him to come in. And in listening to him on Periscope and on Facebook and reading his articles and the different things that, you know, we've been telling you about to follow him, we noticed that he really has the DNA of our DNA. There's just something about this kindred spirit. And we love the gift of God and the anointing that is on his life. Ryan is an apostolic leader. He's a prophetic voice to this day and age. He's also a modern day revivalist. Yeah, revivalist is someone who starts fires. Now, we all want the fire, but we're not all fire starters, okay? A fire starter comes and starts the fire of revival. And so we're glad to have him come here today. And we've been talking so much about the hunger of God, the river of God, the fire of God. And we just know God is going to move in a very powerful way. Ryan has also started several different ministries, including Ryan Lestrange Ministries, and also Tribe Network. It's a global ministry of ministries and leaders, and so you could find that online. And also, he's the author of several books, and we'll have a book table in the lobby, and maybe he'll share a little bit more about that. But without any further ado, let's give a warm welcome to Apostle Ryan Lestrange.
Amen, amen. While you're standing, just give Jesus the biggest praise offering you can this morning. Come on, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to have your way today. We don't believe that we're assembled here by accident. And you said in your word, it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. So Spirit of the living God, we invite you in, as Pastor already did, to come and have your way as we've been declaring. You are a miracle working God. We ask you for healing miracles, deliverance miracles, financial miracles. Release the fires of revival and awakening upon your people. Let freedom come like they've never known it before, Lord. Father, I release a prophetic mantle over this gathering, over this weekend, that people begin to have uncommon dreams, uncommon visions. I say that the dreamers that have been knocked down get back up in the name of Jesus. I say that dreams come alive in the realm of the spirit, prophetic dreams, night visions that people begin to see in the night, that people are being stuck for direction. I unlock that dreaming anointing, that dreaming gifting. I release the prophetic mantle over this gathering in the name of Jesus. The prophetic people begin to hear and see and know. I pull down the spirit of Jezebel that has muted people's senses. I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind you and break your power. I cast you out of this region, out of this church, out of these people. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus, I command God's prophets in this region to go free from bondage in the name of Jesus. That the prophets arise. I say to the prophets in this region, arise, 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 arise in the name of Jesus. I see fresh wind coming upon your prophets, Lord. And I thank you that your prophets begin to move under the wind of your spirit. That it is truly a new season of significance. I hear in my spirit the Lord is saying that from this territory, prophets of significance are going to arise and begin to give utterance to words for the nation. For the Lord said, I'm birthing a prophetic direction from this region to go to the nation, says the Lord. It's going to be a time and a season of prophets from this region and this territory beginning to release the word of the Lord. The Lord says, keep your eyes on the prophets. that are rising out of the New England region. For I'm raising up fresh prophetic voices out of this region. And many that have been locked away in the prayer closet and the secret place, they are coming forth, says the Lord. And I'm pulling back the covers, and they'll be exposed unto the nations with the word, my word in their bellies, my word in their mouth, my word in their spirit, for the nations, says the Lord. Father, I thank you for that, for prophetic people arising in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord one more praise, and then you can be seated. We're glad to be here with you this morning. We're going to have a good time. We're just going to give an introduction this morning. Then tonight at 6, we're going to flow in the Holy Ghost. Now, I like to teach, but I'm primarily a preacher. Now, you all got quiet on me. Did that make religious demons in the region nervous? You know, a teacher's just happy to tell you what they know, but a preacher needs your interaction. A preacher works in tandem with the people. In fact, I believe there's a realm of decree and preaching where the Holy Ghost moves from the well on the inside of you out of your human body and your flesh. Preachers a lot of times move. They use their finger. They use their voices. They use their arms. And many times it's because our whole body becomes our instrument. And so the thing that makes an experience like that fruitful is when everybody gets in it together. There's no sense in me lighting a fire if you're not going to throw some kindling on the fire. Amen. So preachers like participation. So, you know, I know I came a number of years ago to Cape Cod. People told me, don't go to Cape Cod. It's dead out there. And I said, it may be dead when I get there, but I have a resurrection mantle on my life. It's not going to stay dead. So I was ministering to all the Catholics in Cape Cod, which is fine because my family was Catholic. I was born again from the Catholic Church. And so the Catholics were coming with their crucifixes and getting healed. God was healing people supernaturally, and they were getting born again. But I had to train them how to do something besides just raise their finger. I said, sometimes you have to say amen. You have to stand. You have to clap. You have to do something that indicates you're alive. Amen. That's how preaching works, is that you work with the people. So I want to tell you a miracle story, and then I'm going to mention these products. How many like miracle stories? I'm a storyteller. I like miracle stories. I just came back from Trinidad. The devil tried to kill us on our way to Trinidad. He tried to knock the plane out of the air. 22 people were injured on the plane. I was not one of the 22, praise God. And we ministered to those who were injured on the plane. They left. When we landed, the paramedics came on the plane and taking people to the hospital. I mean, the devil is crazy. And I went to Trinidad, and the last night, they wanted us to lay hands on everybody. And so one of the other ministers said, let's just make a fire tunnel. That's when you just have people lined on both sides and pray for people. R.W. Shambach and many of these people from generations past used to do this. It's just a prayer line, basically. And so we had this tunnel, and I was taken to up in the spirit. And I saw a lady that couldn't walk on one leg. And I told what I saw, but nobody responded well. Here, when the fire tunnel gets started, there comes a lady, and one of her legs is like this, and she's only got one leg working, and they're propping her up, carrying her through. Now, my friend, Apostle Jeremy Gibson from Florida, was there, and when she got to Jeremy, he grabbed her and said, I release a miracle over you, and took her and began to walk her through. And she put that leg down, and she was just staggering and stumbling, but all of a sudden the power of God came on that woman, and God healed her leg supernaturally, and she took off running around the building, ran to the front, and began to just jump up and down, healed by the power of the living God. Listen, I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve Buddha. I don't serve Muhammad. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, that is risen. He is not dead in the ground somewhere. He is alive, and whatever kind of miracle you need, physical, financial, emotional, mental, there's something in the atmosphere that you can begin to pull on, that you can begin to catch, and you can determine in your heart, I will not leave here without receiving my miracle. Amen. Mention a few products to you. We have a lot of audio teachings on the product table. I wanted to mention this one because it's brand new. It's the first trip I've had it. Unlocking dimensions of the supernatural. There are places in the spirit that you can go to that supernatural things happen on a regular basis. And most people don't know this. Prophets talk about times and seasons, but apostles unlock dimensions and spaces. And this will put some revelation on it for you about dimensions. I would encourage you to get that. This is my book, Overcoming a Spiritual Attack. Many people are under attack. I wrote 8 symptoms to define an attack and how to get out of it. This is the book I wrote with Jennifer LeClaire from Charisma Magazine, Revival Hubs Rising. Pastor John Kilpatrick from the Brownsville Revival wrote our foreword for this. He said, I breathed a sigh of relief when I read this manuscript because finally someone has gotten it right. And he said, the words in here, we're going to catapult people to the next great move of God. So I would encourage you to get that book. I believe it will bless your life. Also, on October the 7th, I'm having a webinar, the first one I've ever done, Defeating Jezebel. I'm going to teach on that a little bit this morning, but I'm going to go in detail. You're going to get a syllabus. You have to sign up for it. If you go to my website, which is RyanLestrange.com, you can register. Now, if you're not available the day of, you're going to get a code along with the syllabus. You can go and watch the videos later. So, but you have to register. There's a fee because it's going to be like a one-day little Bible college. We brought a few shirts. This is one of my favorite ones my staff made. It's hashtag find your tribe, or I found my tribe, actually. Amen. And many people say, well, I don't know where I fit in the body of Christ. Well, you prophesy to yourself and begin to declare of yourself, I found my tribe. I know where I fit. And so that'll be a blessing. And then this is the newest one that we have out, glory dwellers. I want to dwell in the glory of God. Amen. And we got the scripture on here, Zechariah 2:5 said, I will be like a wall of fire all around her, says the Lord, and I will be as glory in her midst. God is a glory and fire. Amen. And so all of that is back there. I encourage you, go get it. I'm going to preach as much as the Lord lets me preach this morning, then we'll pray. Again, tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to have a real time of moving in the Spirit. So it'll be a time. Some people came to me today, said, I came from other places. I wanted special prayer. I prayed for several people this morning, but if you come back tonight and you want an impartation, you want prayer, I'll be happy to pray for you. I may pray for some people as the Lord leads me this morning, but more tonight. Turn in your Bible to Revelations 2:20. I want to talk this morning about Jezebel, the prophet-killing spirit. Now, how many of you have ever been attacked by the Jezebel spirit? We have any warriors in the house, amen? One preacher said, I don't believe in the Jezebel spirit. I said, start doing something for God and have Jezebel join your church and you'll find out real quick about the Jezebel spirit. I started preaching about the Jezebel spirit as a young church planter because Jezebel joined my church. And boy, when I kicked Jezebel out of my church, it made all kind of ruckus. When you go and confront Jezebel, that spirit gets mean, that spirit gets nasty, that spirit gets ugly. And I found out that the Jezebel spirit is a prophet-killing spirit from hell that comes to destroy the authentic prophetic ministry. I believe we are in a time in America, we need solid prophetic voices. We need people that are not operating on an agenda, that are not trying to become famous, that are not trying to be the next big thing, but have been in the face of God, have been touched by God, and are releasing revelation from heaven. Amen. And Jezebel wants to defeat this emerging prophetic generation. Revelations 2:20 said, but I have something against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her time to repent. She does not repent of her immorality. I will throw her on a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, and they will spend, unless they repent of one's their deeds. So the Bible said here, Jezebel calls herself a prophetess. She is a false prophetic spirit. Now, Jezebel does not know gender. In the Bible, Jezebel first appears through this demonic demon queen that marries a weak king named Ahab. But Jezebel is not a person. Jezebel well is a spirit. Some people say, well, how do you know it's a spirit? Because Jesus is prophesying in the book of Revelation 800 years after Jehu killed the woman Jezebel. So Jezebel is a spirit that comes to seduce the church, that comes to bind the anointing, that comes to quench the anointing. And one of the things Jezebel's spirit does is it establishes its own illegal prophetic ministry. Jezebel becomes a rogue and renegade prophet in the house. And Jezebel doesn't prophesy to you to help you. Jezebel prophesies you to bind you. When Jezebel prophesies over you, witchcraft hits your mind. Confusion hits you. Fear grips you. You feel like if you don't do exactly what this spirit says, you're going to be defeated and conquered. And Jezebel hates true prophets of the living God. Jezebel comes to defeat true prophets of the living God. When a prophetic ministry comes into town, Jezebel will meet it at the gates of the city. Why? Because that spirit wants to keep the declaration of the Lord out of that perimeter. It's a prophet-killing spirit. It's a spirit of seduction. The Bible says that those bound with the Jezebel spirit will end on a bed of affliction. Now, the Jezebel spirit is an anti-anointing spirit. In demonology, there are different classes or leagues of demons. They have different assignments. They have different personalities. Jezebel is in the company of demon spirit that are anti-anointing spirits, because the Bible said in Isaiah 10:27, the anointing destroys the yoke. In Acts 10:38, it said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You could not get around Jesus and not get a miracle and not get a healing and not get a breakthrough and not get a deliverance. And that's supposed to be the mark of the New Testament church, that you get around God's people and something supernatural flows over you. Something life-changing is deposited. I believe God wants to raise up a wave of apostolic prophetic hubs in this hour that carry a smeared down, rubbed upon anointing, that if you're bound up, you can get there and get free. If you need a prophetic word, you can get there and get free. One of the worst things in the world is to go to a church where there is no anointing. You just sing songs, but there's no anointing. You clap your hands, but there's no anointing. The Jezebel spirit loves for you to sing songs without anointing. The Jezebel spirit loves for you to go through the routine without any power and presence. The Jezebel spirit loves to entertain you in a corporate gathering, but keep the breakthrough withheld from you. In Hebrew, the word anon is mishak. It means to rub in. The Greek is chrism. It means smeared. What's it saying? Power upon you, power within you, and power to change those around you. The anointing is God's power. It's the manifestation and the result of his presence. I believe the anointing of God upon the life of a person is to help them, to launch them, to fulfill a spiritual assignment in their life. I believe the anointing of God upon the life of a person is to break oppression over their life. I believe the anointing of God upon the life of a person is to catapult them into destiny. In fact, I've read from Genesis to Revelation. I cannot find anywhere that God appointed a man or a woman to do something and did not give them an anointing. You see, the anointing is connected to our identity. Intercessors are anointed to pray. Worship leaders are anointed to open up the presence of the Lord. Preachers are anointed to preach. Prophets are anointed to prophesy. Kings are anointed to rule. Every area God calls us to, there's a smeared down anointing. There's a rubbed upon anointing. There's a John 7:37 out of our belly anointing. There's an anointing within. There's an anointing upon to influence all those around us. The prophet influences people prophetically. The apostle influences people apostolically. The evangelist influences people evangelistically. The marketplace minister influences people in the marketplace. But that Jezebel demon wants to bind up the anointing on your life. The Jezebel demon wants to stop the anointing on your life. Amen. Through a false prophetic ministry. When the anointing hits a person, there's a divine charge. Your battery gets charged in the spirit. But there are demonic entities that are assigned to bind up, to hinder, and to quench the anointing, because the anointing is a power tool in the kingdom of God. You can pray and believe God for things, but when the anointing shows up, it can be accomplished in a moment of time. It's a power tool. When the anointing is working, what was impossible suddenly becomes possible. When the anointing is present, bondages begin to break. Bondages begin to shatter. Now, I want to look at 1 John 2:18 quickly. 1 John 2:18. It said, little children, this is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many plural Antichrists have appeared. By that we know it is the last time. For they went out from us, they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they're not of us. But you, talking to us, you have an anointing. That word anointing means an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all. There are a couple of things being revealed here. He said, even now there are many antichrists. Now the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So he's not talking here about people. He's talking in the realm of the spirit. There are many anti-anointing spirits, the league of demon that comes after the anointing. I believe America needs a wave of the anointing again. I remember when I got born again and I went to Bible school in the 1990s, and you heard about revivals that were rocking cities. You heard about churches that the supernatural was happening every weekend. When's the last time we've heard those sort of things in our nation? I believe we need bold men of God and bold women of God that say, give me the glory or let me die. Give me the anointing or let me die. I believe we've got a generation going to the warlocks, going to the psychics, going to the witches, because they've turned to the church and there is no prophetic anointing. There is no power. There is no authority. And I believe the world is saying, we want to gather at the house of the Lord again, but we want the power. We want the anointing. We want the authority of the Lord God again. God wants to raise up places of great presence. But there are many anti-anointing spirits. Many of you have faced in your life anti-anointing spirits. Demons from hell to stop the anointing. You begin to progress and all of a sudden something hits you. The Jezebel spirit is an anti-anointing spirit that comes to defeat the move of God. Jezebel hates the prophetic anointing. Anointing is connected to identity, so the Jezebel spirit comes after your identity, comes after your calling. Jezebel wants to dilute your identity. Jezebel wants to confuse your calling. Jezebel wants to stall out the anointing or stop the anointing on your life. I believe one of the marks of strong apostolic ministry is equipping and identification. When you get under the ministry of an apostle, things wake up in you. You didn't even know were in you. It's not just because we have classes. I like classes. But some things aren't happening in the classroom. You know, you can't have a class where we're gonna make everybody prophets. No, we can have a class and teach you how to hear from God. I do those kind of schoolings. We can have classes and teach you about dreams and visions. But there's something in the realm of the spirit that when you get under that mantle, go with me for a minute. Elisha is in a field just plowing along, and Elijah comes, and Elijah throws his mantle. That little piece of the corner hit Elisha, and Elisha said, my God, I got to get up and move different. I got to walk different. There are some mantles that when they touch your life, your whole life shifts. I say, Lord, raise up people in this hour that carry a shifter mantle, that they carry a mantle to shift people, shift families, shift regions. Some of you, the reason why, my God, I feel the power. The reason why Jezebel hates you is because you're a shifter. When you go in, you agitate the powers of hell. You carrying the Holy Ghost in your belly, and those religious demons get mad at you. Those Jezebel demons get mad at you. Those Python demons get mad at you. And you've been over in a corner having a pity party. But the Lord says it's only confirmation of who you are and what you carry. It's time to rise up and run under the glory of God and run under the power of God. Jezebel wants to steal your identity. You come under a Jezebel attack, you begin to question everything. Maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe this is not the will of God. Apostles release identity. They release equipping, but Jezebel works to defeat the apostolic and prophetic anointing. You know, there's prophets, but there's a prophetic anointing. I like this one preacher. I like to go to his meetings because everything's prophetic. He won't even do worship without releasing a song of the Lord. I mean, everything's prophetic. He'll write books. I was going to preach in Kentucky, I was having a spiritual warfare seminar, and I've authored books on that subject, and I was just going to preach something I already knew. And the Holy Ghost said, I want you to preach how to cast the devil out of yourself. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's too many bound up people that have got the authority of God in their belly, and I want you to teach them how to get free. So I'm preaching, I'm in the middle of preaching this sermon, and the Lord said, I want you to write a book on this. And in a week, I wrote a book on that. Supernaturally, there's a prophetic anointing that comes upon you that you can see, that you can know. There's a prophetic anointing to tell you. I remember the Lord told me to sell real estate for a period of time. And so I went and got this listing. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to work to sell this listing. You're going to sell this listing. I'm going to prophesy this thing sold. The day I went to put my sign up, somebody walked up and said, are you going to sell that? I said, yes. Do you want it? They said, yes. I sold that listing before I put the sign up because I prophesied it. There's a prophetic anointing to move in the supernatural. And Jezebel hates the prophetic anointing. And God wants us to operate under a prophetic anointing. Amos 3:7 says, surely God does nothing except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Well, the prophetic anointing sees in the spirit. You don't have to be a prophet to see things in the spirit. Many of you this morning during worship began to see things in the spirit. Now, the problem is we've told people, well, that's weird. And so God's trying to talk to us. We have whole churches that are trying to figure out, what do we do next? And there's a multitude of people seeing things. But because we've been operating under a Jezebel spirit and said, well, that's weird. Don't see anything. We've shut down heavenly communication. Most of the times when you have prophetic experiences, you're going to have to pray and ponder to figure out what it meant. Many of my greatest prophetic experiences, I didn't know what it meant. I've had prophetic experiences that I thought it meant one thing, and somebody helped me interpret it, it meant something completely different. But the prophetic anointing sees, the prophetic anointing knows. Sometimes we just need to know, what are we supposed to do? The prophetic anointing hears. The prophetic anointing moves. Now, I personally believe there's a realm of prophecy that your body has to get involved. This might challenge some of you, but I believe there's a realm of prophecy. One of the things, religious spirits, when you go to religious territories, religious climates, you find people don't like to move in church. They could be in the club on Saturday night, they're all moving. They could be at a sporting event, they're all moving. But they get in church and freezitis disease hits them. They're crippled. Not only they move is their hands. But you see, there's something. I'm going somewhere with this. What does the Bible say? Lift up holy hands. There's something about movement. There's some David danced before the Lord with all his might. Who was David? He was a prophet and a king. There was something about movement. David wasn't just dancing in this earthly realm. I believe when David began to dance, the prophetic anointing came on him. And he was lifted into the realm of the spirit. I like my friend Captain Mullen sings a song, my praise is a weapon. I believe my praise is a weapon. When demon spirits are pushing me, when demon spirits are trying to stop me, and I lift up a praise, the devil scratches his head and says, I've thrown sickness at him, I've thrown disease at him, I've thrown financial attacks at him, but he's still praising. And I just say, devil, I'm going to praise till my last day on earth. I'm a praiser. God delivered me. God set me free. I'm a praiser. I wasn't made to be dead. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God. Your response to any prophetic word determines the power it has over you. If someone came up to you and said, you just won $10 million in the lottery, you wouldn't go, oh, glory. Yet we get prophetic words, Lord, so I'm going to launch you to nations. We go, oh, hallelujah. Your response to the realm of the spirit determines your engagement level. One day, I had come back from an international trip into one of the churches I was leading, and I was in this other nation. In this other nation, when they start worship, everybody comes to the front and dances. And I came, and I had a meeting with all of our leaders. I said, we're going to change something. They said, what are we going to do? I said, we're not going to do any lullabies on the opening songs. I said, I understand y'all are trying to get in deep worship. I like deep worship, but we're in a religious climate. People are already dry enough. We need to blast some things. We need a drum beat. We need a sound. We need some movement. And I said, we're going to start to prophesy to people. We're going to start to create movement. And I said, we're going to ask for the well diggers. I said, I'm going to come, and I'm going to teach about digging wells of intercession. I'm going to teach. The Lord told me to teach on intercessory worship. I said, I don't know what that is. He said, they marched around Jericho worshiping me as intercessors, and it caused the walls to fall. He said, there's a realm in worship where you worship for your family. You worship for your community. You worship for your region. And the Lord said, I want you to begin to teach intercessory worship. So I began to teach these people. Now, you would think I was asking people to sell their house and give me the prophet. I mean, every religious demon got mad. Every person out of the denominational church that was in our church got angry. People began to leave our church. He wants me to dance. I'm not going to dance. You would have thought I was asking the most vile thing, but I would not relent. I said, we're not stopping. We're going in. We're going into the Holy of Holies, but you can't get to the inner courts. Most people come on Sunday. They don't even get in the outer courts. They're somewhere in their brain. They're somewhere in lunch. They're somewhere in the afternoon. They don't even come to the outer courts. You got to come into the outer courts with an attitude of praise. You got to remember who God was, how God's moved, how God's delivered you. To prophesy is to move. The spirit of prophecy is movement. Sometimes we've got to prophesy with our bodies. Sometimes some of us just need to say, I'm going to do something uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm going to sit in another chair. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to move. And so we began to plow this thing. Amen. One lady was in our church tormented by devils, having nightmares every night. One day she said, I'm leaving that church. I said, why is she leaving the church? She said, because someone get up. I began to have people open the service with a 5-minute charge. Read a scripture and charge people. Come and dance and worship God. And so the lady said, I'm not going to go to church anymore where they give me a charge to come to the front and dance. And I said, my God, the woman is coming for counseling, demonized, nightmares, panic attacks, troubles. The greatest thing that could ever happen in her life is to get out of her chair and go down front and begin to dance. And the lady said, but I don't want to be embarrassed. As long as you're embarrassed by radical worship, then Jesus will be embarrassed to come to your house and give you a radical miracle. The woman with the issue of blood was not embarrassed. Blind Bartimaeus was not embarrassed. When they marched the walls of Jericho, they were not embarrassed. Radical miracles demand radical obedience. Don't tell me you're a prophetic person and you won't move. Don't tell me you're a prophetic person and you won't shout. Don't tell me you're a prophetic person and you won't release the word of the Lord. Jezebel has clamped your lips closed. Jezebel has muted your voice. I hear the Spirit of God say, I'm releasing your voice this morning. I'm releasing your movement. I'm releasing your praise. I'm releasing your adoration. I'm releasing you into another realm, says the Lord, and Jezebel will not cause you to be silent any longer. Hallelujah. There's a sound of revival. There's a sound. I call it the rumble. When the Spirit of God hits a building and people begin to travail, they begin to groan. They forget about who's around them. They forget about what clothes they have on. They're swept up in the Spirit. We need an awakening in America to be swept up in the Spirit. I was preaching in Texas a few weeks ago. Upgrade conference. I had caught a word about upgrade. I was in the middle of preaching. All of a sudden, the glory of God came in. People began to run to the front. They began to shout. They began to travail. They began to weep. And somebody came to me and said, we need to sing. I said, we don't need to sing. So we need to prophesy. I said, we don't need to prophesy. I said, when the glory comes in, that cloud comes in, every gift in you comes alive. But just because it's alive doesn't mean you need to move in it. Sometimes the cloud is dealing with the people of God. And you see, there's something that happens in the glory cloud that changes you forever. You begin to hear from heaven. You begin to see things. You begin to see the plans of God. And Jezebel hates that realm. Jezebel wants to quench them. You know, the name Jezebel, the Bible says in 1 Kings that Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Ahab, rather, the son of Omri. His gateway to becoming the most evil king that ever lived was a covenant with a covenant-breaking witch named Jezebel. The name Jezebel means this, unmarried. That's what the name means. Uncommitted. You know, these prophetic people that they want to come and stand up in the middle of the Sunday morning service on the back row and you never saw them before and take over the service. Uncommitted prophets. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Jesus died so we could be married to the Lamb. You never get the privilege of covenant without the sacrifice of covenant. The Jezebel spirit wants to exercise and flow in gifts without any commitment or relationship with the authority that God's put in position. It means uncommitted, unhusbanded, unexalted, without dwelling, without cohabitation. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidon. She was raised in idolatry. Her father's name, Ethbaal, means man of Baal. She came from a long line of demon worshipers. He was a high priest of a fertility god named Astarte that we also know in other traditions as Ishtar. This was a seductive entity known as a fertility god in that hour. Jezebel was raised to worship and represent these demon gods and carry their seductive power. Jezebel's name was Jezebel, an ambassador of the demon god Baal, which stood in direct opposition to the land of Yahweh. It is a rank-breaking demon that abhors authority and refuses any type of biblical submission. It does not, cannot, and will not keep covenant. It is a covenant and truce-breaking spirit. The late John Paul Jackson, who I believe wrote one of the very best books on this subject, Unmasking Jezebel, said this, "An individual under the influence of an Ahab spirit often makes truces instead of covenants, thus prostituting rather than sanctifying relationships." But how, this is John Paul Jackson, how can you have a truce with someone whose goal is to destroy you? It is impossible. Ahab formed a covenant with this seductive, prophet-killing demon to try to bring peace, but instead brought destruction. Jezebel comes with strong manipulation, strong demonic power, strong demonic influence to get you to submit to its will and overcome you. Now, how do we get there's a prophet-killing spirit? Let me get a few more minutes here. Matthew 11, 11, Jesus said, "Of all men born, there's no greater than John the Baptist." John was a bridge prophet, bridging from one covenant to the next. As far as I can tell, John never released any recorded prophetic word that was highly predictive, like Elijah, Ezekiel, and many other prophets that released highly predictive words. John simply had one message: repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He was an announcer, a forerunner. Luke calls him a forerunner going out ahead in the spirit. The prophetic spirit is a forerunning spirit to prepare people for the move of God. John was preparing people for the move of God. And the Jezebel spirit hated John the Baptist because he was revealing Jesus. Revelations 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The Jezebel spirit despises the work of prophetic ministry because it actually prepares generations, it prepares regions, it prepares peoples, it prepares nations for the move of God. So Jezebel was determined to kill the leading prophet of that day. We find this whole history, I'm not going to read because of time, in John 14, that the King Herod has taken his brother's wife. And they go to John and ask him to endorse their unholy union. And John refuses. So on a day when the king is surrounded by other world leaders, she sends her daughter to do a dance. So we don't know what kind of dance. I assume there was a spirit of seduction on some of this. And this girl does a dance and he says, "Ask anything you want." She could have asked for power. She could have asked for wealth. She could have asked for anything. But she asked something that makes virtually no sense. "I want the head of one man." Why? Because she was infuriated by his refusal to endorse her illegitimate position. Jezebel is always angered by prophets who ought not endorse their illegitimate positions. And so Jezebel seduced the king to destroy the prophetic voice, and John's head was cut off. The Jezebel spirit understands if you cut the head off, you will defeat the body. It uses a divide and a conquer strategy. Queen Jezebel in 1 Kings 18, it says, Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. When Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, he took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in cave. So she slaughtered most of the prophets, but Obadiah hides 100. The Jezebel spirit wants to hide the prophets. It wants to hide the prophetic. It wants to shove them into a cave. One thing the Jezebel spirit will do to you if you're prophetic is try to put a cave mentality on the inside of you, that you develop this mentality. Well, everyone rejects me. Everyone is offended by me. Now, there's a truth in that in the prophetic ministry, but some people make that their identity. And remember, the Bible said the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So we're not supposed to have a testimony of rejection. We're not supposed to have an identity of rejection. But some prophets are pushed into a cave mentality by the spirit of Jezebel. And Jezebel gets you seduced into believing that you'll always have a lower level of ministry, a lower level of life. And it's not the report of the Lord. It's not the word of the Lord. Just like these prophets had to be delivered out of a literal cave, some people have to be delivered out of a figurative cave, an emotional cave, a financial cave, a mental cave, because Jezebel tries to shove people in the cave. Elijah goes and squares off against the false prophets, and Jezebel sends Ahab to him, and he releases a demonic message, and Elijah goes under the juniper tree, and then he retreats and says, I want to just give up and die. But the angel of the Lord brings the word of the Lord to him. True prophetic ministry will cut through the lies of Jezebel. It'll cut through the demonic entanglement of Jezebel. It'll cut through the web of deception of Jezebel. But Jezebel tried to send Elijah into suicide. And it used a messenger. Jezebel always uses messengers. Now I want to give you some keys to discern a Jezebel spirit imitating a prophet. And I'm going to give you some keys to break a Jezebel spirit, and we're going to pray. How do I discern Jezebel spirit imitating a prophet? Okay, number one, there'll be a constant boasting of dreams and visions that exalt self. You know, I had somebody that wanted to join my apostolic network, and they told one of my spiritual sons, I don't know if I can join it or not because people are so intimidated of my gifting. I've been in ministry for over 20 years. I've ate with leaders in the body of Christ. I've been on television programs with them. I know many of them personally, have their cell phone numbers. I'm not intimidated by some upstart that says an angel helps them in the ministry. What that is a Jezebelic mentality that's self-exalting. Whenever there's a constant boasting of dreams and visions that exalt self, that's Jezebelic in nature. Secondly, Jezebel creates a coalition of weakened people in order to exert strength over them. Jezebel will find all the emotionally wounded people and start bringing false affirmation to them. Jezebel will find every ambitious person in a church that feels like they should be the next preacher in the church, and Jezebel will go in the parking lot and give them secret words. Pastor doesn't see your anointing. They don't see how gifted you are. They don't see how talented you are. Anytime someone starts saying to me, the Lord showed me how gifted you are, immediately I sense a spirit of flattery because they're speaking to my ego. They're not speaking to my spirit. Jezebel will form a coalition of the weak to disciple them. Jezebel prophesies to people in secret, refusing to submit revelation to those in authority. 1 Corinthians 14 says prophecy should be judged. So if I got a prophetic word for somebody, why not have their spouse judge it? Why not have their leadership judge it? Why not have somebody else judge it? Well, if I've got an agenda tied to it, I don't want it judged. Jezebel prophesies non-biblical revelations, particularly as it relates to authority or chain of command. One man came to me, he was a pastor, and said, Ryan, the Lord spoke to me. I said, okay, what is it? The Lord told me my wife has never helped me and supported me. I said, okay. He said, the Lord told me to divorce my wife. I said, okay. What else did the Lord say? The Lord told me who my next wife was. Soon as I get divorced from my current one, the Lord showed me who the next one. He went to his wife and said, the Lord told me you never helped me, you never supported me. And I said, dear brother, I have to tell you that's a false prophecy. That's a demon spirit. He said, it's not a devil. So I said, the Bible said the devil can come as an angel of light. The devil's not going to walk in your living room with a pitchfork and say, hello, I'm Satan, sent to destroy your life. The devil's going to come as an angel of light. And so you know what? That man's out of ministry today, divorced. His kids are a mess. His home's a mess. He lost his ministry. He lost his church because the Jezebel spirit came and seduced him, and he wouldn't listen to correction. Jezebel spirit has the presence of false fire. It can give information without purity. Don't ever be seduced by a prophecy that's informative but not pure. You know, someone can come to you and say, well, the Lord showed me this, 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 this. If you don't know the person, you don't know the fruit on their life, you don't know other people that are on the fruit on their life, be cautious of that. This spirit has an agenda. It is a pushy, self-promoting, and heavily emotional manipulative spirit that uses guilt and condemnation to lead you. Now, how do we break a Jezebel spirit attack over our lives? Number one, you got to discern it. Most people never get to this point. Now, there's two ways you can discern something. One, by the gifts of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits, revelation, word of knowledge. Secondly, by information and teaching. If you study certain things, you can learn their characteristics and learn to discern them. Secondly, you pray. Warfare always requires wisdom. You're not going to expel the influence of a Jezebel spirit in your life without a counterpunch. So you don't want to just immediately go without prayer and act on something that you've learned. You want to pray because warfare requires wisdom. You want to ask the Lord for strategy. Thirdly, you establish godly boundaries of authority. Once you tell the Jezebel spirit, these are my boundaries, you'll begin to limit the operation of that spirit in your life. Don't be an Ahab and say, well, I just want peace. No, establish those boundaries. Fourthly, you use strong spiritual authority. You see, when you teach on these demons, then people get afraid. Well, I'm afraid of the Jezebel spirit. The Bible said God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. When you cast out the Jezebel spirit, when you break the Jezebel spirit off your family, off your children, off your home, off your finances, you don't have to operate in fear. You operate from a place of authority. We don't do battle from a place of defeat, but a place of authority. Fifth, you confront it. You offer repentance, and then you remove it. There will always be some sort of a power struggle because Jezebel's never going to go down without a fight. But when you confront that spirit, you offer repentance. If it's dealing with a person, your relationship with you, offer repentance. And if they won't repent, then you remove their role of authority. If it's in a ministry, you remove their role of authority in the life. You're not warring against a person. You're warring against the influence of a spirit. And understand this, if you are a prophetic person, you have definitely been under siege at times in your life by the Jezebel spirit. Amen? Now, we're going to break that spirit for just a few minutes again tonight at 6. We're going to be praying more, prophesying more, ministering more. But I just want to pray for a few minutes. I don't know if the keyboard players, some musicians want to come. Father, I just thank you for the anointing right now. I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke. I just heard in my spirit that dreamers, that you were having a lot of prophetic dreams, but all of a sudden, those prophetic dreams have stopped. I want you to stand up if that's you. Lord wants me to just prophesy and open up the dream realm over your life. Shaka, this lady in the back, the glasses on your head, you're a strong dreamer, man, ma'am. Yes, you. Lord, I see a strong mantle of dreams and visions over you. Lord said you're coming into a time of acceleration. You're going to move in accelerated dreams and visions. Just come here quickly to me, Shaka. Come here quickly, just real quick as you can get to me. I see the word of knowledge opening up over you. The Lord says you're going to begin to move in the word of knowledge. You're going to know things by the Spirit of God. The healing ministry is coming alive in you. Shprakata bahata. Brisitete. Now, Father, everyone that's standing, I release fresh dreams and fresh visions right now. I command fresh dreams and fresh visions to begin to come forth. I bind up the Jezebel spirit off these men and women of God. In the authority of the name of Jesus, I command their minds to open up to the spirit realm. I command their spiritual eyes to open up. In the name of Jesus, sake shikit, and I break every mute spirit. Shikit, ma'am, are you with this gentleman beside of you? Tap him. I want to tell you, come here, sir. Just come here, sir. Yes, you. Just come here quickly. Yes, you in the pink. Shakare baby shikit. I just see this big ministry assignment the Lord's unfolding to you and in front of you. I saw it like a scroll in front of you. And the Lord said there's an anointing that's coming to you for the things of God, but in some ways it's almost overwhelming to you. And the Lord said there's parts of it you think, I'm not equipped to do it. I'm not able to do it. But I see this, it ties back a few generations, even like into a grandfather or some older man in your family. And I see that mantle that was on him coming on you. And the Lord said, I'm going to use you supernaturally in these things. And you feel overwhelmed at times, but the Lord said there's a fresh anointing and there's a fresh flow of heaven coming to you today. Father, I just thank you for that fire. Shakata brise, anjite brisitata, orosata, rushakaba. That fire in his belly, in the name of Jesus. There's somebody in here that you got a false, almost like a psychic or witchcraft kind of utterance was released over you. You didn't go like to a psychic or a witch, but somebody gave you a word. And you didn't know this person well. And ever since this word went over you, you've had a series of nightmares and torment. And the Lord said, there's a tie. There's some witchcraft assigned to that word that went over you. Who is that? I just feel it very strong in my spirit. Somebody released something over you spiritually. And since that time, there's been a measure of torment and nightmare kind of situations, even in the night. Who is that? I want to pray for you. So I've been over here. Come here. Come here. Shakata brise. Yeah, I saw when you got out of your seat. So I'm going to give you a word. And remember, with any prophetic word, there's multiple layers of it, okay? Just close your eyes so you forget everyone's around here. Just close your eyes. So when I give you this word, I want you to pray over this word. I want you to ponder this word because there's layers and elements of this word. And you need to hear this word in the right manner. But when you came from your seat, I saw this chain that was connected to you. And I saw it going back into other people, like out from you. I believe they're connected by way of bloodline or family, that there was some familiar spirit kind of practices, some practices that were not totally biblical. And this has been an area in your life that you have a very prophetic nature and a very prophetic personality. So you're oftentimes drawn to the things of the spirit. But this divination that was released over you through a person, it's a familiar thing that follows you and travels. There's a chain of communication in the spirit realm from you into this dark side, and the Lord just told me to cut it, so I'm going to cut it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cut this. Shata brekete, shata bababa, lebo shike. I release deliverance over her right now. I release deliverance. So let it go. 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 Bring her right here, please. Just come right here. Father, I just thank you for the power of God right now. Shata breke, the peace of God right now. Mantum breseteba anshikete, the peace of God. That's it. Yeah. Shh. Something right there. Like this witchcraft spirit even brings headaches and things to you. I break this now. I say go free right now. There's the anointing. Go free right now. In the name of Jesus. Go free right now. I see somebody that you're supposed to start something almost like a prophetic type of training center or school. I believe you've come here from another area this morning. But that's what I sense in my spirit. Lord wants me to lay hands on you quickly for impartation, that you, God's dealing with you to start something in along these lines. Come to me, whoever that is. So prophetic training, kind of a prophetic type of school or training. That's what the Lord is calling you into in this season. Just come. Just come on. Father, I just thank you right now. I see the Lord handing you this massive sword. I just see like an anointing. I'm looking at this sword, really two of them. And one of them has a deliverance. It's written on it, deliverance, but it's for your generation. And Lord, so I want to give you messages. Even as John the Baptist carried a message of deliverance, I want to give you messages of deliverance for your generation. I want to mark you for deliverance for your generation. And I have given unto you for your portion, son, a revivalist anointing to start fires, to light fires of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, so I'm training you in the fire. I'm cultivating you in the fire. I'm igniting you in the fire, in the secret place. And then I saw this second sword, and there was tremendous miracle anointing on, almost like that Smith Wigglesworth kind of anointing. Just crash the sickness and disease and affliction. And Lord said, I'm going to use you in the realm of the spirit to begin to see demons that are causing calamity in the lives of people. But I've given you an authority, son, to break those demonic entities and break those demonic powers off the lives of people. In the name of Jesus, I mantle you now. Manze, I release a Samuel anointing for your generation. There's things you need to do this, even building, need even space. And the Lord said, I'm giving you supernatural favor. I see this building almost like a really trendy warehouse kind of space. And Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. And the ruddy ones are going to gather. It's going to be like a cave of Adullam where the ruddy ones gather. I'm going to cause you to build a revival center, says the Lord, to ignite young people hearts with the fires of revival. Shakataye lebasata yeseke sheke. Father, I release fire, 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 fire. It's almost like something God wants to redeem. I'm trying to give this word so carefully because it gets me in so much trouble. But like when I was laying hands on you, I saw Vikings. And, you know, I know that the real Vikings had a lot of dumb spiritual things. But almost like there's this Viking blood in you of warring. And the Lord wants to redeem that that mantle on your life and that warring anointing. Shakatata. And I release a protective mantle over you that even when principalities and powers come against you, you're divinely and supernaturally shielded and protected. Monza, there's someone in you, the Lord is bringing you into prophetic worship. Lord said, I'm raising up the sounds of the Lord through you. That's your ministry. And people are going to be healed as you release the sounds of worship. People are going to be healed as you release the songs of the Lord. Who is that? That the Lord's calling you into prophetic worship. Come here. Manda, the Holy Spirit, just train her. So the minute you stepped out of your seat, I heard the Lord say, Holy Ghost training. I just speak Holy Ghost training, that the things you don't know how to do, the Holy Ghost is going to train you. I release an anointing. I'm not going to release all prophetic words right now. I'm just going to release that anointing. I release that anointing. That breaker anointing. Lord said, you're just going to break things open. Lord said, the spirit of the breaker is upon you. Yeah, I release the spirit of the breaker. Break, 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 break. Shakatarabata. Shakatarabasa. Shurababo shike. Labra shike deba. Yebabababa shike. Fresh sounds, new songs. I release it right now. Shatarabaka. Lord says, creative sounds, sounds of healing. Creative sounds, sounds of healing. Father, I just release that anointing right now. I release that anointing right now. I release that anointing right now. That's it. Father, I just thank you right now. That's it. Shh. Thank you right now. Thank you, mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you, mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you, mighty Holy Ghost. Lord, so I'm going to upgrade your sound. I'm going to bring you into even a higher operation, daughter. I'm bringing you, it's like I see even like when a phone system is being updated. Lord said in the spirit realm, there's a download that's coming to you, a heavenly download that's coming to you that's going to really ignite some fresh sounds and some fresh fires of the spirit in you. And it's almost like you're going to have a prophetic grid in the spirit for what the mood of the spirit is, and you're going to sing from that place of the mood of the spirit. Lord, so I'm synchronizing you to the mood of the spirit and the atmospheric worship, that you begin to shift the atmosphere and pull from another atmosphere into this atmosphere. Father, I just thank you for those prophetic sounds in the name of Jesus. I just hear like war sounds. As soon as I stood and running, I heard like the war drum sound. I hear war sounds. Lord said, the spirit of the warrior is coming alive in you. Shakatata. To tear down demon powers, to break demon powers, to root out demon powers. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for a fresh baptism. I hear the Lord say, I'm baptizing this church in fresh fire. For the Lord says, the season of mourning is over. And the Lord said that the spirit of tradition will not prevail against this church. For many want to try to hold things into where they have been. And the Lord said, I've called you into a new season. I've called you into a brand new season, said the Lord. And there's a newness and there's a freshness. It's time you take your funeral clothes off, says the Lord. And it's time you put the wedding garments on. For there is a fresh reception of marriage. I'm inviting you to, and the Spirit says the Lord, to host my presence, to host my glory, to host revival, for you shall be known as a dwelling place of my Spirit in this region, a house of prophets in this region, a place of prophetic function in this region. I'm releasing, says the Lord, a fresh prophetic anointing on this house. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so, Lord. Father, we just release glory in this place this morning. We release glory in this place this morning. I see the Lord healing somebody's ear right now. Father, I thank you for the healing power of God. Someone with sound confusion, Lord's healing that. I command that to stop. Somebody else with deafness in one ear, I see your hearing opening up. Father, I command the deaf and dumb spirit to come out of that ear right now. In the name of Jesus, I just release healing over somebody's back and neck right now. I release healing over somebody's shoulders. If you have pain anywhere in your body, I want you to put your hand up right now. All right. I'm going to pray one last prayer tonight at 6 o'clock. We're just going to go after the glory, go after the presence of God. Again, if you want hands laid on you, you traveled in from somewhere else, if you can come back tonight at 6, I'll lay hands on you. If you cannot come back tonight at 6, I'll hang out for maybe 2 minutes in the sanctuary and I'll lay hands on you quickly for an impartation. I'm not going to stay and give prophetic words for hours, but I'll release an impartation. But I want to pray for people that need healing right now. Just put your hand if you need healing. If you're near one of those people, would you just agree with me right now? Father, I thank you for the healing power of God. I command pain to go. Someone's knee is being healed right now. Somebody's shoulder joint's being healed. Somebody's elbow's being healed. TMJ is being healed. A really severe headache behind the eye is being healed. Father, I just thank you right now. Someone in their toe joint, at their big toe, you had terrible pain. Lord's healing that. I release a healing anointing right now all over this place. I command healing now. Someone's kidneys. I release healing over kidney disease right now in the name of Jesus. I release healing over digestive issues now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's neck has been loose right now. You haven't been able to move your neck. The Lord's just been loose. I command that neck be healed right now. I say over every sickness and disease, be healed now. In the authority of Jesus' name, I release healing right now. In Jesus' name, just receive it right now. Now, the Lord told me, he said, whenever you pray for people to be healed, whether you lay hands on them or whether you just pray a mass prayer, don't pray for people to be healed without involving them in their miracle. I said, what do you mean? He said, always ask people to get involved. So if you couldn't move something without pain, if you had something, I know if you have an internal, you can't check it. But if you have anything you can check, I want you to just check it right now. I want you to try to move, try to bend, try to do anything. And I try to teach people that miracles are instant. Healing can be progressive. So sometimes people go, well, I was having pain on level 10. I'm only having on level 3. That means God is doing something. And so what you do is you keep worshiping God and praising God till that thing completes itself. Amen? But I want to ask quickly, and I'm finished. Quickly, if you're in this section and any pain left you or anything changed, would you just put your hand and wave over here? Anybody over here? This lady on the front? You're doing better? It's your elbow? Praise God. Amen. God is good. What about over here? Anybody? Yes? Better? What about here in this section? Anybody have pain leave? Anything change? Yes? Yes, back there. What was it, ma'am? Your shoulders? Were you not able to move it, or what was the problem? Yours is very stiff, and hers, she couldn't move right without pain, and she's moving. Amen. What about this section here? Anybody healed in this section? There in the back, praise God. You know, the Lord told me one time, said when an atmosphere is at a certain place, miracles are easy. I love to lay hands on people. I can do it for hours, but when an atmosphere gets to a certain place, you can just pray a prayer, and people start getting healed. What about this section here? Anybody better? Yes, this lady right here. What happened? Your neck, what was wrong? Chronic tightness. Move it for me now. So you weren't able to do that without a problem before. Amen. And what about this section right here? Anybody here have improvement? No, all these sections need to pray for that section, evidently. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for the glory. Thank you for the glory of God. I ask you, Father God, to bless your people. I thank you that when we come back tonight, that there'll be an open heaven, that your glory would just move. Even when we sing the first note of worship, that your glory would just sweep into the building. You'd begin to move by your Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing in this region. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I'm going to invite Pastor back up.
If you could just take a seat for a moment. You're not dismissed yet. You know, I got the picture of the river that flowed out of the Ezekiel's vision out of the temple. It started at the ankle, and it became a river that was impassable. You couldn't even, you know, you'd have to swim. And that's the way the glory often is. The glory grows, and it's growing from first service to this service. Tonight is going to be off the hook crazy. But we're going to go ahead and receive a love offering for Apostle Ryan. And I'm just going to ask you to just ask the Lord, what is it that you can give that would be a generous offering? And let's go ahead and sow this seed into his life and into his ministry, and let this seed speak about our appreciation for the word that was preached, the spirit that was ministered to us tonight, today. So if you need an envelope, you could slip up your hand. If you're writing out a check, just do it to NBCC, and we'll make sure that he gets the offerings after the third service. And you can go on your church app. If you're going to give on the NBCC app, please give under the category guest minister, and also the resource center. You can give through the iPad as well. But we appreciate your seed. We appreciate you being generous in your giving. And tonight, we're really looking forward to what's going to happen this evening. And we ask you to bring somebody along with you. And historically speaking, our 6 p.m. services, when we do have them, and we don't have them often, when we have them, I mean, it's like the cork is yanked out and the wine, the new wine is poured out in a very powerful way. So that's what we're looking forward to this evening. Praise God. Thank you, Apostle Ryan. Thank you so much.